Good morning. Have you guys ever felt like you were starving and you were so hungry? Or have you ever wished for forgiveness, mercy from someone, and they weren't giving it to you? If you've ever wished for those kinds of things, we're going to talk a little bit about them in the Sermon on the Mount today. So join us and see how these principles apply to you.
Welcome to Bible Women in Bathrobes, the podcast where faith meets comfort. Join us Tuesday and Thursday mornings as the gals from Women Warriors of Light and their guests don bathrobes and dive into the inspiring stories of women in the Bible and the teachings of Jesus Christ. From Esther's bravery to the Sermon on the Mount, we explore it all with warmth, laughter, sisterhood, and maybe even a few sleepy-eyed moments. Tune in live or at your leisure as we learn lessons from Scripture which empower women today.
Welcome to Bible Women in Bathrobes. I am your host, Tamara K. Anderson, and joining me are Tiffany Fletcher. Say hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
And Bonnie Randall. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, ladies.
We are so excited to join you today. And today we are covering the second part of Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. And so I thought we would just dive in. Last week we had a great discussion about being poor in spirit and meek, some of these words that just we don't use very often. And today we're going to start off with verse 6, and I'll read it and then we'll kind of dive into what we think. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Tiffany, what do you think about that verse as far as being hungry for something?
When I read that verse, it made me think about, so yesterday in our church service, there was someone who talked about how she was coming back to Jesus, you know, coming back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she said, she made a really interesting analogy, which I wanted to share. And she said, it's like being hungry, like not eating for so long that you forget that you're hungry. And then when you come back, you realize exactly how hungry you were when you bring Jesus back into your life. And it made me think about this verse and how when we are hungry, sometimes we forget how hungry we are. Like if we go fast for a day or two, like we really do forget sometimes. I mean, as we get busy as women, we're like, oh, I forgot to eat today, right? Because we forget, we set it aside. But then when we actually acknowledge it, we recognize just how hungry we are and how much Jesus Christ fills that hunger, how much he really does fill the things that we're lacking and makes it so that we can feel full and spiritually full in our lives. And that's when I think about that, that's kind of, I just love that analogy that is what the gospel does. It fills us up and allows us to recognize that we were hungry in the first place.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Bonnie, what else? What other thoughts have you had with regards to being hungry?
I love that you started it off like that, Tiffany, because that scripture is so full of emotion to me and so full of promise. And that I think I shared last time when we were talking about Sermon on the Mount, about my prodigal journey a little bit and how I wandered for a while and wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And then my sister helped me come back. And a part of that story that I didn't share was kind of like what your friend shared yesterday. When I did eventually go back to church with my sister and her family, when we were sitting in, you walk in and she's, I can't remember what denomination she is, but it doesn't matter. You walk in and there's this worship band playing and it was beautiful. I love Christian music and I'm a big, I sing and play the piano and just music's a big part of my life. And So when I walked in, I didn't really know what to expect, but this worship music was playing and it was all about coming into Jesus, letting him heal you. And then, so I started getting kind of emotional and like, oh gosh, okay. And the spirit started hitting me. And all of a sudden it was like this tidal wave of the spirit. And I hadn't realized how much I had been missing out on those years that I'd kind of been wandering and lost and it's just so broken. And then the pastor gets up and guess what his sermon's on?
What?
The prodigal son. I turn to my sister and I'm like, did you tell him I was coming? And she's like, no, I swear I didn't say anything. And I just sat there soaking up his message of love and mercy and forgiveness and how it doesn't matter what we've done, we can always turn to him and be forgiven. And then they get up and they start singing another song. And I can't remember what one it was, but it was as if the entire host of heaven came down and wrapped their arms around me. I couldn't even stand. My knees buckled and I fell to the floor just bawling. And I felt like what your friend described. I felt filled. And I realized how starving I truly was. In that moment, I needed so much. And thankfully, the Savior didn't disappoint. He came and he filled me with his love and with his, in that moment, his righteousness. And for me, that scripture, when I read it the first time, I actually thought of truth and how when we are seeking truth with an earnest heart and with a sincere heart and with pure intent, we will find truth, whatever that means to us, because so many times, right, we're looking for answers for different things and we'll be filled with right, what is right. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, in that story, I was filled with his love and knowing without a shadow of a doubt that there is a God and he does truly love me and I can be forgiven.
I love that. As I was pondering this verse, it kind of took me back to when we were talking last week about feeling a lack, you know. Mm-hmm. First, you kind of have to realize you're missing something before you can go and find that piece that you're missing. And I was thinking about, you know, loved ones that I have who, like Bonnie, you know, wander off a little bit sometimes. And I don't know that I'd ever really prayed for someone to maybe begin to desire to be filled or maybe recognize what they're missing or something. Because I think, like in the story of the prodigal son, it says he came to himself. You know, he had this epiphany. He had this moment where something changed. And I think that's what we're hoping for in each of us, that we'll have that moment where I am truly starving inside and I need God's spirit. And that can happen to any of us, especially if we're going through a really hard time. I've noticed in the times in my life when I'm feeling especially drained, you know, raising kids on the autism spectrum, especially when they were super young and I wasn't getting enough sleep and stuff like that, I felt such a hunger inside all the time because I was just constantly giving. And no matter how much I took in, it just didn't feel like I was ever fully satisfied. You know what I mean? And I was saying my prayers and going to church and reading my scriptures, you know, versus when I could fit them in and stuff like that. So I was trying to do the right things, but it just never felt like enough for several, gosh, probably even a decade there. I would have moments where I felt full, but because so much was being required of me, I think I felt that lack even more. But you know what I think that lack, feeling the lack does? It turns us to God, because we know that on our own, we are weak. You know what I mean? And so we need him. It's when we're content that we need to be worried. You know, like, oh, all is good. Then we're not seeking after Jesus like we should. Does that make sense? Yeah. Anyway, so those were my thoughts on that verse, that if we hunger and thirst and we're constantly seeking, then we will be filled. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to have to seek tomorrow and the next day. You know, it's a constant process daily of coming to Jesus. And the good news is that difficult things, we get stronger and we get to the point where we can manage them. So I'm at a better place now. I feel more full more regularly, which is awesome. So, yeah, Bonnie.
I feel like this scripture alone, we could talk the entire half an hour on,
right?
Because it is so full. It really is, like, there's so many parallels to being filled with righteousness. And I mean, I have 2 special needs kids as well, and it is, you do feel depleted. And one of the things that you made me think of, and that I'd really like to encourage our listeners, is that when you go to scripture today, or you go to prayer today, I really encourage you to ask Heavenly Father, what is it that you need personally to be filled? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, what is it that's depleting you that you can let go of? Because we all have things that are weighing us down, whether that's past grievances or wounds or whatever, things that can let go that are big like that. Or there could be things that, you know, maybe we need to let go of that are just simple things, like, okay, I could probably stop scrolling Facebook while I'm going to the bathroom. Don't deny it. I know you all do it. Like, there's a reason why our phones fall into the toilets. But whatever it is, right? Ask, like, what is it that I need to let go of so that I can be filled? Because sometimes we're hanging on to things that's taking up space. Mm-hmm. And when we let go of those things, right, we unpack the proverbial backpack of rocks, right? Think of that analogy, that we're all holding a backpack, and that backpack is holding different objects. And some of those are really good. Some of those are our scriptures, and some of those are spiritual experiences that we want to hang on to, right? But some of those things are rocks that are literally weighing us down. Mm-hmm. And if we go to him today, as he promises in that very same scripture, if we thirst, we ask, what do I need to let go of so that I can be filled with your righteousness, or with your truth, with more of your glory, with more of you? What is it? I promise you that you will be filled, like it says, right? Mm-hmm. So for what it's worth, if you're feeling that lack that Tamara's talking about, just ask, what do I need to let go of?
Yeah.
Because I have found in my practice that when I let go of something, immediately I am given some sort of spiritual insight to move me forward.
Mm. Yeah. Tiffany.
I just want to say, along with that, really quickly, when you're asking, I mean, sometimes we have things that are so hard, we don't know how to let go of it. God will ask, he'll let you know how too. Like, you know, I don't scroll in the bathroom anymore, because several years ago I was like, God, how can I stop this habit? And he's like, stop taking your phone in the bathroom. Like, that, it's really, sometimes it's that easy. And you just don't think about it, because you're like, oh, I don't know why I didn't think about that, but yeah, that makes sense. And so now, like, I don't take my phone into the bathroom, and it's not a problem, you know? And so I think that sometimes we get so stuck in our ways that we don't see a way out because of our perspective. We're not looking from the perspective that we need to. And so when we ask God how, like, we ask him what, but we also ask him the how, then he's going to show us how. And it may be easier than you think, because sometimes you look at those Goliaths and you're like, oh, that is so big. I don't know that I could slay that dragon. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you really can slay the giants. You just have to ask God how to do it, and then invite him to help you. And it makes all the difference.
And in order to slay the giant, right, it's like you don't eat the whole elephant in one gulp. It's bite by bite. And sometimes the question is, what's my next step? Right? Like, very rarely do we do the whole goal, the whole mission, so you will, at one time, like, ever, right? Like, Tamara, when you were preparing to create Women Warriors of Light, did he lay out the whole plan for you?
Oh, no.
In one dream or one session of prayer? No, right? He gives us it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's one thing at a time. And with my clients, a lot of times, so I do what's called heart meditation with my clients. And it's basically prayer. We connect into God. We connect into our truth, into our heart space, which is where our connection to God lies. And we never say, give me the whole thing at one time, because usually we're not ready for it. It's we ask, what is my next step? What is the next thing I can do to move forward? And he'll give you, just like you said, Tiffany, usually a very simple thing. And you made me think, I heard a quote once that is worth sharing, something to the effect of, and this is why I say I'm not a scriptorian, because I can't ever quote people correctly, but something to the effect of, the first voice when you're praying is God, is the Spirit. And the second, inevitably, is the adversary, because he wants us to doubt ourselves. So if while you're in the middle of this prayer, this searching for truth and righteousness, if you can be still and get yourself still enough, that first thought that you have is the clue. And usually you want to run with that. And it's going to be something simple. And I'm curious, we're so not going down the right. I'm sorry, Tamara. I'm taking you down a rabbit hole. But it's worse. Sometimes, you know, when you're following the Spirit, that's what happens. We go on tangents. So it is what it is. But I'm curious to know, like, this discussion of how do you feel the Spirit and how are you filled, right? Like, how do you know that what you're hearing is truth? So each of you, how do you receive from God?
I'll go first. I usually hear it just thoughts in my mind or impressions in my heart. Sometimes it's just a feeling, like a feeling of love or peace or joy. I think those are things that the adversary can't replicate. But yeah, usually it's thoughts or impressions. Sometimes I actually hear words in my mind. So that's how I do. How about you, Tiffany?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm writing a Bible study right now for one of my amazing clients. And this is something that I'm actually teaching in the Bible study. So it's interesting that we're talking about it. But you know, there's a scripture that says everything that is good comes from God. And so any good thought that you have is from God. Like, whether you decide to act on it or not, you can trust that it's from him, because he is the giver of thoughts, right? Like, he gave us our mind. He gave us everything that we have. And so if you struggle to know if God is speaking to you, if that thought is leading you to do something good for yourself or for others, it is from God. If it's leading you to say unkind things about yourself or your neighbor, or leading you down a path that is unhealthy or unwise, then you can trust that that's from the enemy and it's not a thought that you should follow. And I think that sometimes we get caught in our head where we're like, well, is this from God or isn't it? I don't really know. Well, if it's good, it is from God. So you can trust that and you can move forward with it. I think for me, it's the same as Tamara. I get in my mind and my heart, like I really feel in my heart a lot. Like I'm a very emotionally connected person, which sometimes isn't a good thing when I'm working with people who are very emotionally charged. But it helps me to just know, like when my mind and my heart is just at peace, or they are connected together, then I know that I can move forward in it. And a lot of times I think our heart is us, like our intentions. I mean, the spirit, of course, is there too, but it's where we actually have our buy-in, you know, like the thoughts come and then we connect it with the heart. And that's the buy-in. That's like, okay, yeah, I'm feeling this and I am ready to move forward with it because I know that this is what God wants me to do. And it's also what I want to do for God. And I'm going to move forward in that. I think that is really what we need in order to move forward with the spirit. But we just need to recognize that every good thought comes from God. We don't need to question it. Just do it. That's what God would want us to do. Just be his instrument. When he speaks to you, run. That's all.
Love it. Well, let's move on to that next verse. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And this is a good one, I think, because, oh, gall, we all need forgiveness. We all make mistakes all the time. You know, I feel like constantly on my knees, I messed up again, God, you know, and it's easy for us to beg for forgiveness. But then I know I grew up in a family where, you know, there was right and wrong and you didn't do the wrong things and you were punished if you did. And so, mercy, there was more justice versus mercy in some instances. I know we had mercy given to us. Don't misunderstand me, but I saw both sides very, very clearly growing up. And so I'm just curious, what are your guys' thoughts on being merciful? Bonnie, let's start with you.
My kids are always saying, that's not fair. And, you know, I have to teach them the concept of, well, what is fair? And sometimes, you know, fair doesn't mean equal, right? It means equity, that we have what, or doesn't always mean equity, excuse me. It's like, for example, if my daughter grew out of shoes, right? I need to go get her new shoes. And then the child says, well, that's not fair. I want new shoes too. Say, well, do you need new shoes? Do your shoes fit you? Yes. Okay, then what your sister needs is that. And I relate that back to mercy only because mercy is sometimes going to seem unfair, that someone might go unpunished or not get the justice that we think they deserve. Again, I work with a lot of domestic violence victims and abuse victims, and giving forgiveness to the abuser does not seem fair, right? It seems like they should get some massive punishment. And a lot of times people are hanging on to that wound and hanging on to hating them and wishing them ill and all these things, hanging on to the wound because they think that that is justice. That is somehow going to be what is fair, that they need to be held accountable. And by doing that, I'm going to hold on to my pain and my suffering because somehow that is what is giving the justice. But at the end of the day, forgiving them isn't just for them, it's for you. It's for letting go of those rocks that we were talking about earlier. It's letting go of that wound. And when we do that, we are following his admonition here of giving mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are our own worst critic, right? We oftentimes don't forgive ourselves and give mercy to ourselves. And one of the things he commands here in another verse is love thy neighbor as thyself. Mm-hmm. The as thyself part is what people forget a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give mercy to yourself. I love that. Yeah. That's beautiful. Tiffany.
You know, when I was thinking about this, I looked up actually mercy because I was like, what? I really want to know the definition of that. And it says the compassionate treatment of those in distress, especially when it is within one's power to punish or harm them. And I thought about that, the compassionate treatment of those in distress. And I think, so I grew up with a mom who had multiple personalities. She had 14 different alters. They were ranged in age from a three-year-old little boy all the way up to a violent alter. And when that violent alter came out, my mom was really cruel. She was very cruel to me. And I remember when I went on my mission for my church, I had a church leader who told me, your mom is really your savior. And he helped me understand that she was in distress. She had been sexually abused by her father for 15 years from the time she was 3 to 15. And she was in distress. The things that she struggled with were hard. And so I learned the importance of that forgiveness, that mercy to show her, you know, sometimes people hurt us not because they are cruel or they're unjust, but because they're in distress. And sometimes we need to see them as children of God and recognize that they are doing the best that they can, that their life is really, really hard, and they are doing what they can, and give them that mercy that they need, because of course we are all struggling, right? We all fall short of what we need to be doing in this life. And for us to keep mercy from someone else who is in distress while expecting the Lord to like give mercy to us in our times of distress, it isn't realistic. We need to be like our Savior, and we need to give that mercy and that forgiveness to all people, regardless of whether or not they hurt us, because as you said, that forgiveness is not for them. It is for our own healing and our own benefit, because when we're peacemakers, we can't be a peacemaker if we have contention within ourselves. And we're struggling with the things that people have done to us. We have to be able to give that mercy to people, even if we feel they don't deserve it. And because who are we to judge? Like, we don't know what the distress of their heart is. And so that kind treatment is something that I just encourage everyone. If you're struggling with someone who has hurt you, give them mercy, show mercy to them the way you would expect the Lord to show mercy to you. Because as it said, the merciful will receive mercy. That is, if we are merciful to others, we in return will receive that mercy from our Heavenly Father. And that is the most precious gift. And that's really what fills us in the end, right? Is receiving that forgiveness and that mercy for ourselves, because we have been in distress in our life. So I just wanted to share those thoughts real fast. I know we're really short on time, but
I know. And I think we're just going to have to pause there, which is fine. We got through two verses. It's good, right?
And mercy is another one that we spent an entire half an hour
on. Oh, I know, right? Yeah. Maybe we should break these down one verse at a time and just do one. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, takeaway lessons. What were some things that stood out to you today from our discussion? Bonnie, let's start with you.
Remind me next time that we need to discuss the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Mm. And that goes into, when we get to peacemakers, it ties right into mercy and this concept of boundaries. And I really, really, really don't want to forget that, because it's really important that as Christians, we understand the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, because sometimes we get confused with the doctrine because it seems conflicting, but it's not. So stay tuned for next episode when we get there, and we're going to dive into the difference of that and what Christ actually says about that. And I'm going to share with you some insight that I've learned over the next few years. But my biggest takeaways today are, oh gosh, just so much, how much he loves us. And just his infinite atonement and how his love is never ending and his mercy is never ending and his love is never ending, and that we are seeking him and we need to be filled. We will be. And it starts with just that little desire, just that little mustard seed, right? That mustard seed of faith, that little desire of faith, that if we go to him, he promises we will be filled.
Yeah. Love it. Tiffany.
I think my takeaway is, if you're struggling, if you're having a hard time, if you've walked away from Jesus and you're just coming back, just take time to read some of these scriptures and read the blessings that are given to those who come to him. He is so gracious and so kind and so loving and willing to receive us whenever we are willing to come to him. He will receive, and it's really up to us to receive back, right? Receive that love, be filled, receive his word, let it flow through us, let it become who we are. And when we can do that, like these blessings, we will see them daily because he is merciful and he is so forgiving and so loving. So if we've in any way strayed, come back and be filled, because God is ready. The Lord is ready to fill your cup. Just come.
Amen.
Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway, as I've been pondering what all of you have shared this morning, is that this all hinges on our ability to choose. You know, he invites, you know, those who do hunger and thirst. Well, first you need to want the hunger and thirst. And so if you're at that point where you're like, I would love to have mercy, I would love to be filled, but I'm not sure how to go about that, kind of like Bonnie was saying, that we have a choice. We can even start with, dear God, I want to be filled. Help me to have the desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness, or help me have the desire to give mercy because I don't feel like it right now, you know, and just pleading for that first step of change my heart so that I'll want to forgive, or change my heart so that I'll want to hunger and thirst. That's a good step, you know, so praying for that desire. Anyway, thanks for joining us, guys. Join us next week, and we will keep going with the Sermon on the Mount.
Thanks for tuning in to Bible, Women, and Bathrobes, hosted by Women Warriors of Light. We've loved exploring the stories of remarkable women or the teachings of the Savior today with you. If today's episode brought someone special to mind, be sure to spread the word. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a moment of inspiration and sisterhood. Just a friendly reminder, all opinions we share are entirely personal, as we are trying to decipher and apply Bible teachings just like you are. Until next time, stay faithful, and may your journey be blessed and illuminated by God's love.